So let's go through the name change.
Sure.
Starting from the beginning.
Convention Hall, Tulsa Convention Hall. And really, I think that was a misnamed because it mainly did live performances. They could lower, it had a sloped floor, but they could lower it. It had a manual jack system that they could lower the floor and make it flat. And they would bring in small, I guess, very small conventions because you can't get very, you couldn't get, by today's standards, you couldn't really, you could not get a convention in there. But they would try. But mainly it was done for live performance of the time, which would have been mainly opera, symphony, comedy, vaudeville, vaudeville entertainment. So that was the name then, was Tulsa Convention Hall. And it retained that name until 1952, when it became Tulsa Municipal Theater. A lot of the boosters, the local boosters, raised money in 1952 to do a renovation where they put the front lobby on there. That buff brick front lobby was put on in 1952, as well as 17 extra feet on the stage. They upgraded the stage equipment and they added the front lobby in 1952. Then the name was Tulsa Municipal Theater. And to my understanding, when you go back and read the history, that it was probably successful for, you know, 10 years, 15 years into the mid-60s. And then it became kind of dated. The general public, you know, there were a lot of people who wanted a new theater starting in the late 60s. And so that went on for the next 10 years until the Performing Arts Center was built. And so when the general feeling among the city fathers was to build a new theater, they had the problem, what are we going to do with the old one? That's when they put it for sealed bid auction in 1977, where I ended up being the only bidder. So here I am, a 25, 26-year-old kid who puts in a $35,000 bid, gets the bid, and knowing the name Tulsa Municipal Theater just has too much of an establishment ring. You know, in those days, we wanted things that were not establishment. You know, we wanted to be with the music scene that was going on then. So that was not an appropriate name. So it was on Brady Street. We didn't know anything about the controversy of Tate Brady at this time. It was just the name of a street. And it had kind of a historic name feel to it, so we went with Brady Theater at that point, and ran it for many years until the history started to come forward, that the controversy surrounding the name Brady,
and that he had association with the KKK,
all that stuff started to come to light.
Yeah. So then,
well. And I went down for the hearings at the Tulsa Commissioners' meetings. I attended all the hearings. They had numerous hearings on it. It's interesting that a name change of a street would garner so much interest, but it, and probably rightly so. But so I was there for the meetings, and they first changed it to another Brady, you know, not Tate Brady, to someone, I think it was M.B. Brady. And that didn't go over because that was kind of like, oh, come on. It's still Brady. So then the meetings continued with the city commissioners and counselors. This went on, what, for 2 or 3 years? I mean, what a drama going on. And finally they came up with the idea of a Reconciliation Way for the name of the street. So we couldn't call it the Old Lady on Reconciliation Way. It just didn't have a good ring. So we decided to go back to its name it had before, which was Tulsa Theater. With Tulsa Municipal Theater, we struck the municipal out and just went with Tulsa Theater. It may get another name at some point. We may leave the Tulsa sign up there, but we may go with something more current. We haven't figured what that name would be yet, but...
All right, let's talk about the sign, because
Yes.
Had been stored for a long time someplace.
Right. Well, I was the guy that had it taken down in 1978 because we didn't want Tulsa Municipal Theater, so we took the sign down. And it was stored in a warehouse, and which eventually was sold. But a good friend of mine, Gaylord Heron, who was a local photographer, artist, it turns out I was buying a bicycle at his bike shop years later, and he said, "Hey, by the way, I have your old Tulsa sign in my backyard." And it was made out of stainless steel, so it had not rusted, and we went by and looked at it, and my gosh, yeah. We're having to change the name of the theater at this time anyway. You know, what a fortunate situation that we ran into each other and you told me you had this sign. We'll put it up. And he just gave it to us.
Wow. Perfect.
He was a great guy, Gaylord Heron.
Let's have a little piano from you right now.
Well.
Give us a little.
All right. That's one of my father's favorite songs.
Would that be a theme of your life?
Well, it definitely was for my dad.
You did it your way?
I think you would say for me also. Yeah, sure. I was able to follow my passion with following the sound design, as you call it, and the early days of it when we were inventing a lot of the equipment.
You're famous for your invitational Halloween party along with the Brady Orchestra. So there's two pieces to talk about that. Let's visit about that a little bit.
Okay.
The Halloween. How did that come about, the Halloween party?
Well, it's really the brainchild of a friend of mine, Richard Shaughnessy. He started it in his house 52 years ago. And he came to me probably 20 years ago saying he wanted to make it bigger. And he had a guest list. He would do invitation only. Even in this day and age of internet where everything's done that way, he still wanted to do printed invitations. So for the past 20 years, we've done it at Brady Theater, or at Tulsa Theater. His invitation only Halloween party. And along the way, we decided that the musician friends that I had, that we all decided this would be a good opportunity for our band to play. And we do a lot of classical rock, mainly, the music that we grew up with, a lot of Beatles. And it became kind of a fixture of the party. There would always be other entertainment in addition to the Brady Band, as we called it, or Brady Orchestra. It was a win-win for both Richard Shaughnessy and for myself to do the party here.
Tell me the names of the band members.
Right. Well, starting with the horn section, the principal guy in the horn section is a guy named Rod Clark, and he's a music teacher. He's an extraordinary talent, and he's able to write music himself. He does read music. He can, you know, all three of the guys in the horn section. When I said earlier that rock musicians really don't read music, well, some do. And those guys are extraordinary musicians. And Rod Clark is able to arrange. He can go out of town and arrange parts for, Los Angeles or in Nashville. Anyway, he's the trombone player. Victor Anderson is the sax player. And our new addition is Steve Hefner on trumpet. He's also a music teacher. Kevin Flint on bass. George Barton, lead guitar. Trick Savage, also on lead guitar. Judge Porter on drums. Mike Wilson on keyboard and vocals. And my friend Eric Grimshaw is on percussion.
And you are...
I'm on keyboard, mainly grand piano. Right. And every now and then a little backing vocal.
This piano you're sitting in front of, what model, what is that?
That's a Yamaha, a concert grand Yamaha that we bought for the Brady Theater way many, many years ago. Found it from a guy in a small town. Had it in his living room. These are all established local Tulsa musicians that have other bands they play in, but think it's important enough to do this classic rock kind of cover band that we do, that everyone gets together two or three times a year to put the music together.
I actually listened. You have sound bites of your music.
Okay.
And it's great sound.